The word of the Lord comes to us from Psalm 148, and it reads, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from heaven. Praise God on the heights. Praise God, all of you who are his messengers. Praise God, all of you who comprise his heavenly forces. Sun and moon, praise God. All of you bright stars, praise God. You highest heaven, praise God. Do the same, you waters that are above the sky. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all you ocean depths. Do the same, fire and hail, snow and smoke, stormy wind that does what God says. Do the same, you mountains, every single hill, fruit trees and every single cedar. Do the same, you animals, wild or tame, you creatures that creep along and you birds that fly. Do the same, you kings of the earth and every single person, you princes and every single ruler on earth. Do the same, you young men, you young women too, you who are old together with you who are young. Let all of these praise the Lord's name. Because only God's name is high over all. Only God's majesty is over earth and heaven. Praise the Lord." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today, we are continuing our sermon series on the life essentials by focusing on worship, which probably feels a little redundant, right? I mean, you've made it this far in the video, so you know a little something about worship, right? You know worship is an essential. Some of you may be like me. I was basically born in the church, right? I've been going to church as long as I have been alive. My great-grandmother founded a church, and so I was in worship as soon as I could be. When I moved to Charlotte and we found a church, I was quickly back to worshiping regularly, worshiping pretty much every week, and then I ended up on the worship team. I've been a worship leader for roughly 7 years now. So with all of those qualifications, you would think that when my wife asked me, "What is worship? Why do we worship?" I could give her a straight answer. But what actually happened is I started talking, very confident that I could answer. And I did that thing, you know, that thing you do when you start talking and you keep talking, hoping that in somewhere in this flow of consciousness that's coming from your brain to your mouth, at some point you're going to end up on an answer that makes sense. Well, I did that until she fell asleep. So if you fall asleep today, I just want to go ahead and apologize now. But to be honest, after much study, much contemplation and prayer, I think I figured it out. Worship is the response to the revelation of God. Worship is our response to the revelation of God. Psalm 148, which I just read, begins and ends the same way. Praise the Lord. Now, praise the Lord in Hebrew is hallelujah. It's actually a command, not a praise in and of itself. So when I say hallelujah, I'm actually inviting you to praise the Lord. Now, you know, may not know this, but amen, which I believe is an appropriate response to praise the Lord, amen means let it be so. So when I say praise the Lord, you say let it be so. When I say hallelujah, you say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I encourage you when you get some time to read the entirety of Psalm 148. The psalmist is actually referencing the creation stories in Genesis as a way of saying, let everything that God created praise the Lord. If God did not create us, we would be nothing. And I don't mean we would be nothing in the sense of like we would have no status, or I don't mean we wouldn't be cool or we wouldn't be talented or gifted or beautiful or successful. I mean we would be nothing. Absolutely nothing. We owe our entire existence to God. God created us, the lungs inside us, and God breathed the breath of life into us. So take a deep breath. The last verse of the last psalm says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Why do we worship? We worship because we owe our very existence to God. Hallelujah. Amen. God created us in this beautiful garden and told us we could live forever. And we said, and we had went ahead and did our own thing anyway. We disobeyed God and we became slaves to sin and death. But God has a habit of freeing slaves. And when the Israelites were slaves to the Egyptians, God freed them. And when they were freed, they praised God. Moses' sister, sang the first worship song. She said, this is my God, whom I will praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Today we sing songs and call it worship. But worship is more than just a song. Music is only one expression of worship. The Israelites, after being freed from the Egyptian captivity, they created a place for God to dwell among them and be worshiped. That's the temple. That's where God dwell among God's people and created a system to cleanse them of their sins. Through sacrifices and offerings, the people worshiped God. But over time, the people started to worship other gods and even brought them into God's temple. We call that idolatry. And we do that same thing. We just don't call it idolatry. Like, we treat money like it's our only source of provision. We treat the Justice Department, we treat the police and our military like it's our only source of security. We treat other people like they're our only source of love and acceptance. Imagine carving a beautiful wooden masterpiece only for the art to turn around and worship the tools instead of the artist herself. Paul said in Romans 1, he said, although they knew God, they didn't honor God as God or thank him. Instead, their reasoning became pointless and their foolish hearts were darkened. They traded God's truth for a lie and they worshiped and served the creation instead of the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's what slavery to sin and death looks like. So in steps Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, who said, you thought splitting the Red Sea was cool, hold my wine. Christ dies on the cross for our sins of idolatry and all of our other sins. And now we don't just have life, we have life abundantly. We don't just have life, we have life eternal. And that's not just a get out of hell free card. Since everything was created through Christ, Christ opened our eyes to life's essentials. Essentials such as the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and forgiveness, and service and love. And now we are no longer slaves, but we are free from the law of sin and death. And because we are cleansed by the sacrifice of Christ, our worship is now worthy of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And in response to the grace that Christ showed us, in Christ's passion, we respond by singing a song of our own. We sing Amazing Grace. And we sing it over and over and over again. There's the original Amazing Grace by John Newton, Amazing Grace by Forrest Frank, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone by Chris Tomlin, This Is Amazing Grace by Phil Wickham, Broken Vessels, Amazing Grace by Hillsong, and How Sweet the Sound by Citizen Way. We cannot get over what Christ has done for us. Nor should we. So why are we here? Some of us are here because we love and want to hear a message. Some of us are here because we're checking out this church to see if this church is really for us. Some of us are here because a family member made us watch this video. Some of us are here because we didn't know where else to turn today. As a pastor, personally, I don't really care why you're here. I'm just glad that you're here. I don't really care about the circumstances that led you here. I'm just glad that you chose here. But none of those reasons are why we gather for worship. So why do we worship? We worship because without God, we would not have eternal life. Without God, we would not have life at all. Without God, we would have nothing. We would be nothing. Many of us have our own individual reasons, our own individual testimonies of what God has done for us, and that's why we worship. Hallelujah. Amen. It seems that the question isn't why do we worship? The appropriate question is why would we ever stop worshiping? Now, I don't mean that you need to stay on this video forever. This video will eventually end. Why do we worship together every Sunday? Or if you're joining us later, why do we worship together corporately? Corporate comes from the word corpus, which means body. We are the body of Christ, and we worship together. Whether you're in the building or you're online, whether you're worshiping at St. Stephen in Charlotte, or you're worshiping from the Church of St. Joseph in Beijing, China, we all worship as a part of the body of Christ. God is inviting us into worship, inviting us as a community, not so that the choir or the band can sing to entertain you, not so that you can hear a message that inspires and motivates you, but so that you can receive a revelation of who God is through prayers and through creeds and scriptures and the message, and so that you can respond to the revelation of God in your life, so that you can respond in worship. Worship is revelation and response. But God is too awesome to only be worshiped one day a week. There's a famous passage from St. Augustine's Confessions in which Augustine states, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." We were made for God. and we glorify God by being who we were made to be. We glorify God by living out our gifts, by living through our passion, by living out in our own style. We point to the Creator by being the best version of our created selves. The sign of a worshiping heart is the active disciple, the one who responds to God's grace and love with grace and love towards others. By the Holy Spirit that meets us where we are, we make the connection between gathering with God and living for God. Worship is not just an event on the calendar. It's not just a song we sing. Worship is a life of devotion to God. Although all of it is important, every moment of our lives is important, how we spend Monday through Saturday reveals more about our hearts for God than how we are on Sunday morning. Who we are when we're at work, who we are when we're with our families, and sometimes, most importantly, who we are when we are alone. The United Women in Faith are a great example of the connection between gathering with God and living for God. Their commitment, their service, the way that they glorify God in the things that they do by being the women that God created them to be is a testimony of who our God is and what our God is ultimately about. Every life essential in this series that Pastor Ken has preached on, the one that I'm preaching on today, worship itself, the one that Miss Laura will preach on next week, and the ones that we will wrap up our series with, every life essential is an act of worship to a God that has revealed God's self to us. Do we believe our God is worthy to be praised? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen. By God's Spirit, I believe that God is revealing God's self to you through the scriptures, through prayer, through messages that you will hear, not only from St. Stephen, but from those that God has placed on your path to remind you of who God is and whose you are in and through Christ Jesus. My prayer for you today is that as God is being revealed to you, that you respond to that revelation in praise every moment of your lives, that you might come to church or join us online in church to have God revealed to us so that you can go out into the world and live into who God has created you to be in response to the revelation of God in your life. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Go in peace.